Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. 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 No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights, everyone. I'm Charlotte Spicer. Thank you so much for tuning in from the United States and around the world. If you're new to the show, we thank you for being here and encourage you to explore all that we offer the Spiritual Insights community. In addition to producing these segments, I am an energetic healer and channel for Jesus. I'm joined by my special guest, co-host Amy Verhagen of Blazing Heart Tarot. Amy has been working with the tarot since 2003 and with Mother Mary since 2009. Mother encouraged Amy to offer the tarot in service to others, stating that she would be working through Amy in her interpretations. Before each reading, Amy opens herself to the guidance of Mother Mary, but also Yeshua, to bring forth whatever is needed to facilitate transformation for the client. Through gentle and transformative tarot sessions, Amy lovingly guides you back to clarity and confidence so that your light can shine brightly and bless the world. To book either a live or email reading with Amy, you can contact her at hello@blazinghearttarot.com. To connect and interact, join her Facebook page, Blazing Heart Tarot, where you'll access a free monthly group guidance reading, which is performed on the new moon. Visit spiritualinsightsradio.com to join the Spiritual Insights community, review the archives of channel transmissions from members of the divine, and learn more about my energetic healing work, during which Yeshua, Mother Mary, and a host of other supreme beings, ascended masters, and archangels are present. Well, I'm excited to get started, so let's get to the insights that are coming through Amy. Hello, Amy. Welcome back.
Hi, Charlotte. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So today, you received the topic of what for our beloved listeners?
Oh, beautiful topic of simplicity.
Simplicity. Oh, my God.
Yes.
This is great.
Such a relaxing thing to even think about.
It is a relaxing thing. I like the way you say that.
Mm.
But what's interesting is just recently had a bit of an epiphany and a very huge shift.
Mm.
And what came to me was make it easier.
Mm.
Make it easier. Make it simple.
Yeah.
So, you know, that this is the topic is perfect.
Yeah. Well, I've been going through something very similar. Actually, you know, I've taken a bit of time out recently. And what I'm finding is that as I'm stepping back from busyness, I guess, I'm suddenly looking at things and thinking, why am I making this so complicated?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I expecting these things of myself? It's not really reasonable to expect things to be working out in this way. And so this idea of kind of doing it in a simple way, because that makes sense, is really coming to the fore. And in the new moon reading this month as well, just a few days ago, that topic came through as well, of how we can make things unnecessarily complicated just through the sort of the structure of our minds, just the way that we have evolved to kind of interact with the world, particularly when we get stressed. We create these complicated situations that don't exist. And there was a big invitation in the new moon reading to just hand that over, to kind of surrender the whole thing, really. And the big takeaway for me from that whole reading was, I'm willing for this to be simple. That's my new mantra. Every situation that I'm in, I think, you know what? I'm willing for this to be simple. It's not that I need to figure out how to make it simple. I'm just willing, just willing. I'm willing for this relationship to be simple. I'm willing for this business to be simple. I'm just everything. And it's
I love
such
it.
A beautiful feeling.
I love it. And that's where I am
Yeah.
now because in my situation, you know, with all that I'm trying to do, all I noticed is my increased level of frustration.
Yeah.
And if you're frustrated like that, something's not working. And
Exactly,
I kept
exactly.
saying, where's the ease? I want
Yeah.
ease. You know,
Yeah.
I don't want to learn through frustration or angst, you know?
Yeah.
And so I needed a way to find a way to scale back. But I also noticed that there were intermittent periods of boredom, which I also see as a red flag, where something's not
Okay.
fulfilling. It's not feeding the fire. So something about the way you're doing things or running things might be overdone, or maybe you just need a fresh approach.
Oh, that's
So for
interesting.
me, the red flags are frustration and boredom. There's got to be a better way, an easier way, a faster way. But for me, it was, where's the fulfillment?
Yeah.
I don't feel fulfilled. I just feel frustrated and bored all the
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So there's one thing that Mother Mary shared on the show in the past year, and she said that the human brain isn't designed to multitask. And I was a bit surprised by the statement because in my 20s anyway, you know, 30 years ago, I could do 10 things at once. And I felt very proud of this, you know. As time went by and as I got older, I don't have the energy for that. And eventually I just lost interest in doing so many things at once simply because I could. And so one thing at a time is also part of the mantra. You know, I'm willing to let this be simple. But one thing at a time is what she says is what works. That's what's going to give you the fulfillment. So for me, the goal is fulfillment and then completion. Because if anyone else is like me and you're doing too many things at once, something falls off. And it's hard to revive it. You know what I mean? And sometimes I really like, you know, it's almost as if, and I read this somewhere, that it happens with people, especially whatever I was reading was astrological. My work ethic changed, where I was very much a taskmaster on myself. I started to loosen a bit. I started to lighten up a bit. And, you know, I wanted more fulfillment rather than an egotistical trophy, I'll say, for look what I
Yeah,
did.
that's an interesting way to put it. Yeah.
It's an
Yes, it's not
egotistical
about what's
trophy.
happening on the surface, but how it feels underneath the surface. So on the surface, you might achieve a thousand things, but if you don't feel any meaning or any joy from them, then kind of what's
What's
the
the
point?
point? And you said the magic word, the busyness. And I would get so busy, and I like to be busy, but when you reach a point of overwhelm, you have to pull the brake. And for me, that type of busyness, the extreme type of busyness, for me is nothing more than a frantic disbursement of energy. So you're not concentrating the energy into one simple goal. You're spreading too thin. You're spreading yourself too thin, and you're going to get tired, fatigued. And for me, sometimes I just lose interest. I'm like, I can't. So I pull back. Anyway, so simplicity. We want to know what the divine would like us to know about how to embrace it, I guess.
I'll run through the cards that we've laid out here. So there are four of them. On the top left, we have the Seven of Wands answering the question of how simplicity benefits us in our lives. Then the top center, why do we resist? Why do we resist simplicity? And the card that's come up to answer that question is the High Priestess reversed. On the top right, we have the Three of Wands. And that is addressing the question of how we can move towards simplicity, how we can
Okay.
access it more. And then the fourth card is underneath the other three. And this was just kind of an invitation or an opening for the divine to say more. It felt like there was something more that they wanted to say. So this card is just kind of open. And it's the moon. The moon reversed is the card that's come up in this position.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
So we dive into the interpretation.
Absolutely. Let's dive in.
Okay, so let's begin on the top left with the first card that we drew, the Seven of Wands reversed. And this is the benefit of simplicity, the benefit of embracing simplicity in our lives. And I mean, these are actually all very simple answers. The cards are saying very simple things, and this one is saying there's just less struggle. There's just less struggle. Like this person in the card, for anybody
Absolutely.
who is aware of what the card looks like or can access a picture of it, and we see this guy when the card is upright. Of course, it's reversed because we're talking about letting go of that struggle. But in the image, he's fighting. He's fighting, and to be honest, he doesn't even really know what he's fighting. He's got this big stick in his hands, and there's all these other big sticks that are coming up towards him, but we don't even see where they're coming from.
No, we don't.
Are they friendly? Are they hostile? Are they actually just stuck in the ground and nobody is holding them at all, and there's no need to fight them because they don't have any movements in them? Like, it's not clear, but something in him wants to experience this or is experiencing this as a struggle.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the wands represents the elements of fire, and of course, fire likes a bit of challenge, and it likes movement, and it likes a little bit of conflict to kind of keep things interesting. So there is a little part of us that enjoys the challenge. You know, there's the adrenaline. Like people do extreme sports for the adrenaline rush because it feels good. And on a more mundane level, being a bit
Totally.
stressed gives us a little bit of that fight or flight response, which, you know, there's an enjoyable element to that,
Yeah,
but.
challenging yourself is always, you know.
Yeah, well, just I mean physiologically as well, like the feeling of those the adrenaline rushing around, even if it's just that
Sure.
you're stuck in traffic and you're annoyed, there's some little part of us that kind of, you know, enjoys that experience of being
Because we
activated.
indulge it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, of course, in moderation. There's nothing wrong with anything in moderation, but as a lifestyle, we become burnt out, we become bogged down, life loses its joy, we lose our feeling of freedom and lightness and ease. So when we consciously embrace simplicity, when we ask that question, what is simple here? How can this be simple? Where is the simplicity in the situation that's stressing me out? That burden, it just falls away, or we're allowing it to. We're stating our willingness for the complication to just fall away and for clarity to emerge. And that's simply a more peaceful way of being.
Yes.
And the other thing, an interesting thing about this card is the fact that he's wearing two different shoes. It's a very unusual kind of aspect of the image. He's wearing a shoe on one foot and a boot on the other foot.
I never noticed
So,
that.
yeah, it's really. You don't notice it. I also didn't notice it for a long, long time. And there's this feeling of being two people or of being pulled in two very different directions, which can, of course, arise when we're battling all these imaginary things or when we're kind of in the fray all of the time. It's very hard to feel integrated and whole and to feel ourselves. We feel like we're all these different people rather than this one calm, integrated, centered being that can feel its guidance, feel its body, feel its intuition, and so forth. So it kind of the complication can be a fragmenting, can have a fragmenting effect, and letting go of that complication and allowing simplicity to replace it allows the fragmentation to settle into a more cohesive experience of life, a more calm relationship with the world and with our experiences.
Well said. Yes. Fragmentation is typically our problem because we're not feeling whole and centered and grounded. Perfect. Upon closer inspection, you know what else I'm noticing? Now, you said the wands represent fire, right? Okay. I never noticed that he was wearing two different shoes. And that's definitely a scatteredness or going in two different directions, which is something that can take place in one of my healing sessions where the mind, the intellect is going in one direction, the emotions are going in another, giving you a feeling of scatteredness, fragmentation, inability to make solid decisions, or afraid to make a decision because you're terrified you'll make the wrong one or you won't get the outcome that you're envisioning. At the bottom of this card, so the wands represent fire, but if you look at his right foot, it seems to be on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah,
His
absolutely.
left foot is on what seems to be a stream of water.
Ah, interesting.
Behind him, there's a large open space over his head where some of the images fill the card. This image doesn't fill the card. You have a large expanse of sky. So what I'm looking at is fire, earth, water, and air, all represented here. It's like a grounding of the five senses and the elements and making sure there's
Interesting.
balance in the elements of you and of your life. What do you
Yeah,
think?
and that's a really interesting thing to point out, Charlotte, because the when it comes to simplicity, it's always there, and we don't necessarily perceive it. We may perceive complication, but there is always simplicity underneath. So what you've just described is really interesting because this person in the card is experiencing things in this kind of fragmented, overstimulated, kind of stressful way, and yet all around him is the balance, and within him, the balance is already there. It's not that it has to be created, it's just that it has to be perceived and noticed. So I love that you brought that up.
I love what
And
you just said because he is actually trying to balance as he holds this defensive position. He's in defense
Yeah,
of
that's
and of
right.
what? We don't know who's holding the other wands. But so it's the conflict within, I guess, when we need to access the balance. Fascinating.
Yeah, and that is a really key point. The balance is the simplicity is always there. This is, I think the big, even though we haven't been through the other cards yet, I think that when it comes to simplicity, this is the big takeaway. And this really is what comes up again and again in the work that I do with people with the tarot. We get into, and this applies to every one of us equally. We get into this place where we're just not seeing things. As you say, the mind can be pulling us in one direction, the emotions in another direction. We feel pulled in all these different kind of ways, and we don't know where we are within all of that. And so in the process of the session, we kind of work our way down, 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 down to the center of the situation where things are very, very simple. And we haven't created that simplicity, we've just uncovered it. So when we say, I'm willing for this to be simple, we're saying, in essence, show me the simplicity that's already here. The simplicity is always already present. We don't have to create it. We just need to perceive it. And that's a really key point. The simplicity is always there.
Okay.
All right.
This is fun.
So,
I've never looked at these cards quite this way.
okay, interesting. Yeah, there's always more to see in the tarot. Always more to see.
Okay.
So moving on to the High Priestess now, who is addressing the issue of why we shy away from simplicity. And the High Priestess represents inner stillness, really, inner knowing. But also an element of the divine feminine. And I the this the feeling that I get here is that actually this is less to do with our personal psychology and more to do with the bigger movement in the world to do with femininity. So the goddess, the divine feminine, the human feminine, and the way that that has been rejected or suppressed. And this is unexpected actually. So my initial impression when I looked at this card was, oh, okay, this is the inner stillness that we are, for whatever reason, not engaging with. But the feeling I'm getting is that the reason that we engage less than is maybe optimum with that inner, very still part of us is that the masculine and feminine have been out of balance in our world for a long, long time. And the masculine, which is more oriented towards doing and being busy and all the kind of more outward stuff, that has taken precedence really over the feminine, which is more of the the feeling and the knowing and the sensing. And yeah, it feels like in a kind of on the global scale, but all, which then becomes the individual scale, the distance from the feminine principle has made life more complicated for us. The willingness and the desire to feel that very basic simplicity that underlies all of nature and all of ourselves and really all situations doesn't appeal so much to the masculine as the masculine is manifesting in our world or has been for the last few thousand years. So that there's almost a rejection of the idea that things can be simple. And if we think about things, if we think about the commercial side of the world, companies, of course, not all companies, not at all. There are many wonderful companies, but big corporations profit significantly when people are caught up in complication. When we're busy and we're kind of a bit strung out, we don't stop and think and make logical decisions or feel things in a kind of deep and sensible way. We don't really say, hey, well, why should I do this thing to my lips? Or why should my hair be this way? We just, you know, we're kind of a little bit on the treadmill. And with the way that our culture is constructed to promote busyness and promote the outward focus, what have other people got? What should I have? What should I have achieved by now? This very external kind of locus of evaluation is something that is really has a strong hold on our society. And the kind of opposite attitude in a way, which says, well, what's the hurry? What's the hurry? What's the rush? Why do I have to check my email at 9 p.m.? Why don't I just, I don't know, read a book? Why don't I go for a walk? You know, like this kind of like, why don't I do simple things with my life?
And disconnect from the outer
rush.
It's the rat race. You know, everybody gets tired of the rat race. Everybody gets tired every now and then, but we don't always heed the warnings that we get from the body.
Yeah.
In terms of tiredness, fatigue, or illness, these are all signs that says slow down.
Yeah, and even slow things down. As simple as irritation. Irritation is a strong sign that we're overstimulated and we need to take a break. It might be a 10-second break to take a few deep breaths, but you're right. There are all of these signs saying to us, you just need to step back for a moment here. You just need to rest a little bit. Do something very simple. Take care of your body. Take care of your family or your home. But it's just not really encouraged. There isn't a big precedent for that. There isn't a big teaching that says, hey, slow down and take care of yourself. The teaching is more saying, hey, speed up and get more done. Look at all these devices. Look at the internet. You can be online 24/7. Ah, you can be productive all the time. But that isn't how we were designed. We're very simple creatures, physically and psychologically, really. We're very simple creatures. We're animals with this developed mind and the spirit. And we weren't designed for the life that our culture has created for us.
Wow. And look at how fixated and obsessed people get with their devices.
Yeah.
And they become hypnotized.
Yeah.
And they become like zombies.
Yeah, I mean, I do it myself.
Oh, do you?
You know, yeah. I've just been thinking, just in the last few days, why is it so hard for me to rest? Well, no, that's not exactly what I've been thinking, but that's something that I've considered a lot over a period of years. And I tend to think, oh, it's because, you know, this situation is unresolved and there's this kind of underlying level of stress and it's hard to just really shut down and like paint a picture or do some knitting or, you know, whatever. And I think there's an element of that. But, you know, this morning I was thinking about this same question and I thought, I have my phone, my smartphone near me all the time. And I turn it off in the evening and I turn it off periodically for an hour or two. But fundamentally, I spend a lot of my time texting. Somebody texts me and I text them back and we get into a chat. Or I text them and they text me back and we get into a chat. And I thought, you know what? It's this multitasking thing. How can you sit down and immerse yourself in painting a picture if half of your, a little bit of your brain is like, oh, there's that text, or oh, a text has just come through, I'll just stop. And so it's like this kind of just constantly being kind of on alert because the phone is there. It was quite a, I mean, it doesn't sound like rocket science really, but it was quite a little bit of a revelation to say, actually, if I want to live a simple life, I have to put boundaries in place. I need to turn that phone off at 6 o'clock for the rest of the evening. If I'm going to have the kind of evenings that I used to have pre-smartphone, where I would sit down, open a book, and read until bedtime and just feel peaceful. And I would feel rested. And it wouldn't feel like I was missing out on a million things, or maybe I should be doing this, or maybe I should be doing that. I would, because there were no smartphones. I mean, the
That's
internet had hardly been invented.
everybody's in that mode of, fear of missing out. And
Information overload.
for
Oh my
me, it's
gosh.
I like to say I like to imitate a person on social media. His name's Randy Rainbow, and he says, "Let my FOMO blaze." I just it's so funny. If you look up his videos, he's a satirist and he's an entertainer. He's just precious. Let my FOMO blaze, and I just I really tapped into that because I was resistant to the idea of cell phones way back in the beginning, and I resisted even longer the idea of texting. I didn't feel comfortable with the idea that I was instantaneously reachable.
Yeah,
It
I,
felt like a
everybody
homing
all the
device.
time.
It felt like a homing device. What you doing? Where you at? Well, maybe I don't want to tell you. Maybe I'm at my doctor's office and I don't want to talk about it. I just got to get through this appointment because I'm scared of the results. Whatever. But you just made me realize something, which is, so I have a new phone that I got months ago, and somehow I messed up the alerts, where when I get a text message, sometimes even a phone call, not always a phone call, but when I get a text message, I don't get an alert. But when I send a text message, I get an alert that it was delivered. And I don't have the patience to sit and poke around and find out how I did that. So what you just made me realize is what a blessing it is that I find the text message when I find it.
Yeah,
So,
on your terms, because you want to, not because it's just pinged
on
in.
right, on my terms, and then you had texted me today, and I was looking to see, have I missed anything? And there was, oh, I said, oh, here's Amy. Okay, that's fine. But I just realized that maybe this is something I should more appreciate and not worry so much as long as I know my schedule is intact. I don't know. There's something I wanted to add about this High Priestess card. It's the perfect extension of the card we were just discussing, the Seven of Wands and the defensiveness and the conflict and not recognizing the balance that's already there. With the High Priestess, first of all, she reminds me of Mary Magdalene. She's got kind of like Magdalene energy for me. But there's also moon energy very well represented here, which is the emotions. And so it's like a larger glimpse into the stillness and the balance that we were just talking about with the Seven of Wands. You got the moon at her feet. There's this head piece that seems to me to have moon energy. And there's just the balance between the two columns. She's nonplussed, she's calm and still and not worried. Anyway, I just wanted to add that I can feel the connection between the two cards as they go up the staircase of understanding for us.
Yeah, it's beautiful that you point that out, and it's almost like in the Seven of Wands, the balance is more in an individual situation. The simplicity is there in whatever situation is currently feeling stressful. Whereas here in the High Priestess, because she's a much broader energy that kind of underlies the world in a way, not just our individual lives or our individual situations, that she is representing the balance that exists under all of life, the simplicity that exists under all of life, and that we paper over with all this busyness and distraction and sensation. But just like in the previous card, it's always there. It's already there. Everything about life is simple. We kind of stitch it up in a way to make it look complicated, but nothing about life is complicated. It's all simple.
This is true. So getting back to the question, why do we shy away from it? And we have all this beautiful symbology, but it's reversed. What makes us so uncomfortable about being peaceful?
Yeah, so this is where I feel that it's not so much the individual kind of impetus, but more the collective energy, which says, don't be too quiet. Don't feel too much. Don't pay too much attention. Be busy, be busy, be busy, be productive. Buy things. Come out here, look at this, watch this advert.
Yeah.
Compare yourself to these people. Are you measuring up?
There it is right there. I wanted to bring up the comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that keeps us on the treadmill because on some level it frightens us. We've evolved to belong, to be as... I was going to say as good as everybody else. That's not quite it. We've evolved to belong and to need to be part of the community to feel safe. And when we have these constant messages of comparison coming at us, it's like this constant that you're not good enough. You're not fitting in the group. Your survival is at risk here because if you don't fit in, you're going to get cast out. You can't survive on your own. You know, it's very kind of stimulating, on some level, quite frightening message.
It's fearful. It instills fear.
It is.
I've been telling the listeners for years, you know, and my students, money isn't the root of all evil. Comparison is. Comparison is because it's what establishes in your mind inferiority or superiority.
Yeah.
And what this card and what this culture says is be seen, be heard, be accomplished, be busy when you should just be.
Yeah.
And if you're not worried about what the Joneses are up to, there's no need to keep up with them.
Yeah. That's right.
What works for you? What brings you peace? Is it?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was younger, my late teens, early 20s, and I had started applying for credit cards, and I had my own apartment, and I had my bills, and I really felt established that I had these bills to pay, and it took a long time for me to realize that the stress of trying to pay down those credit cards wasn't worth the things I bought. So I worked very hard to pay them down and keep them down and not depend on that because I felt that it was in indulging in instant gratification. In most cases, you know, if there's something you really need, that's what I like to use them for. But in most cases, it was instant gratification that you pay toward for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing you do when you're overstimulated. You're reactive. You're reactive. You need it right now. It's got to happen right now. Like, that's a state of the nervous system that happens when we're overstimulated and when we're stressed. We are physiologically predisposed towards those quick decisions because we feel uncomfortable and we want an instant relief of that discomfort. And so we go for instant things. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to feel anything because what we're feeling is discomfort.
Yes.
Give me a quick fix. Give me a quick fix. Give me this. Give me this. Give me this. And what do we get for it? All we get is the Seven of Wands. We just now are fighting with everything.
Yeah. And it's all external.
Yeah.
If the conflict is internal, then the solution must be as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reiterating the invitation of the new moon reading, I want to say that the solution is just to say, listen, I'm willing for this to be simple. And that's it.
Okay.
That's just it.
Yeah. If we all need to reach for something outside of ourselves, it would be for the advice of a professional or ruling out any medical problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reach out for those things, rule things out, and then start to simplify.
Yeah, and allow the simplicity to reveal itself. I really want to emphasize this very strongly because it can sometimes become another form of complication trying to make it simple or trying to figure out how it's simple. Whereas we don't necessarily need to it doesn't need to be a doing thing. It can be an allowing thing. I'm willing for the situation to reveal its simplicity to me. And then we step back and we rest.
I'm thinking of a specific demographic of people. Mm. And I'm thinking about those who have children, those who work full-time and have children, and those who work full-time, have children, and have all these activities. We have to get Johnny to soccer. We have to get Susie to art class. This one has to go to, you know, martial arts. Oh, Saturday's a bake sale. Some people are so caught up in this, and I understand. I've been in that situation. And for me, it was fun because I knew it had an expiration date. I wasn't locked into the situation. But for those people, that's who I want to talk to. Like, you know, because I keep hearing in my mind as you're talking, people saying, but I don't have time, but I don't have time to make it simple for myself. So here's what I want to say. Just repeat the mantra. I'm willing to let it be simple. I'm willing to let it be simple and see how shifts come in or what revelations you get or what solutions might appear. And as long as you have that willingness, I don't think there's anything you need to do to think your way through it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Be willing and the solution will show up. The divine will be sure, will make sure of that for you.
Yeah.
Very important point to make, I think, because I could hear it chiming in my head. Some people really just don't have time. This is why we rely on boxed dinners. You know, quick meals like pizza. And we're not getting the nutrition we need to get because of all these convenience items. So we're, and the more convenient it seems to be for us, the more we pile on the complication. If I can just grab a pizza, that leaves time. To check my phone.
I can get some more work in.
Let me pull out my phone and check email. I do not check email on my phone. And I'm just old school and I'm a bit stubborn. I check email on my computer. But, you know, it seems to me the easier society makes it. Like, look, look at this product. Now
you
don't even
order
have to
this
vacuum.
And have it in an hour.
Oh, preach, sister. Oh, my God. Amazon. Yeah, you get it so quickly. And then what I contemplate every time I see one is these the little robots that vacuum your floor. Look, everybody, now you don't even have to vacuum your own floor, which is a huge relief, you know, on one side. But as I look at it, and here's what I think about it. I'm in a strange relationship with these devices. It's round and my walls are not. And it zips around your house. And it does pick up a lot. It does a very good job from what I understand. But it's round and my walls are not. So when it's square and can get into that corner the way I think it should, and when it has an attachment that will take care of my baseboards, that's when I'll spend almost $500 on something like that. And not before. Anyway, we need to move on. And our next card is the Three of Wands.
Yeah. So this is how we can engage with simplicity.
Okay. How can we move towards it? Got you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's a very contemplative card, the Three of Wands. This guy is standing up here on the hillside and it's sunset or maybe sunrise, but probably sunset from the colors. And he's looking out over the sea and the ships are coming in. And there's a real stillness in the card. There's a sort of pause. So the card that comes before this is very much a card of decision making, and the card that comes after it, the Four of Wands, is a very active kind of card. And this is sort of essentially in the Two of Wands, the decision is made. Yes, I am going to follow this impulse, or I'm going to follow this desire or this opportunity. That decision is made. And now, rather than diving straight in to the doing, there is a kind of taking stock. Okay, where am I now? What's the lie of the land? What's coming towards me? What's going away from me? How does all of this feel? There is a pause before the decision to take specific action. So it's essentially, there's a mindfulness and a recognition that effective action is worth taking time over. You can take an immediate action, which may or may not have any benefit, or you can take a pause and really feel what action is really being asked of me here. And then when you feel that you take that action, then that action is always very effective. So there's an invitation to shift away from activity is inherently good, which is not true. It feels like it is because we have this conditioning that says, if you're busy, you're a good person. If you're busy, you're worthwhile. But that isn't true. If you're busy, you're just busy.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are taking considered effective action, you are effective. You create the things that you want to create. You're not just, oh, like I can, you know, I can feel okay about myself because I'm doing a ton of busy work. Everybody looking at me will think, oh, what a busy person. Wow, she's really made it. She's real. I look up to her. It's just, not, it's meaningless. Whereas the truly effective action comes from a considered place, comes from a calm place, and it comes from a simple place as well. What is the most, you know, the 80-20, what's called a rule, it's always kind of perplexed me a little bit because I think, how could this be true? But the idea is like 80% of the result comes from 20% of the effort.
I've heard
of that. The remaining 80% accounts for only 20% of the results. So there's a clear message that some action is very effective and creates the things that we want. And then there's a lot of activity that actually doesn't really create very much at all. And so the invitation in this card, in order for us to embrace simplicity and the rewards that come with living in a simple way, is to pause and feel and take stock and to let go of the idea that activity is inherently good, because it isn't. Effective action is effective action.
Effective action is effective action. Let me just add that you could jump on a hamster wheel and you could be very busy, but how effective are you?
Exactly.
Spinning your wheels is busy too.
Yeah.
And exhausting.
That's right.
And where have you gotten?
Yeah.
I pulled out my Two of Wands because I wanted to be able to see what you were referencing. Mm. And it's interesting. This guy is facing one direction, and the gentleman in the Three of Wands is looking outward. So I'm getting a feeling of this guy, there's might be an emphasis on the past, where this guy is more in the I'm sorry. The gentleman in the Two of Wands seems to be focusing more on the past. The Three of Wands character seems to be more in the present. And he's holding on to one staff. The others, the other wands are self-sustaining.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So in the Two of Wands, it's really about the... I'm just looking for it right now in my own deck. The emphasis is really on the... Oh, I found it. It's on the decision. So... here is this guy with these two wands, and we see one of the wands kind of fixed to the wall. So that represents what's already been achieved. There's a certain stability, there's a certain kind of familiarity and so on. And then he's got this other wand in his left hand, and he's holding a globe in his right hand because the world is so full of possibility, and fire doesn't want what it's already had. Fire wants something new all the time. And so there's this moment of decision where on some level the decision has already been made, because otherwise he wouldn't be considering it. He's heard the call to take some kind of action, to make some kind of change, but he's just kind of in that moment of finding his willingness to follow that and considering the implications. He's just giving himself time to be sure about the decision before he commits to it. So that's the process that's represented in the two. It's that sort of like, what am I feeling? Do I really want to follow this? Am I willing to give up what I already have? So that kind of weighing up. And then in the three, the decision has been made and he has stepped out into the world to kind of follow whatever impulse he was given. But the really significant thing, particularly for this reading, is that he's not doing anything. He hasn't dived straight into the action. He's made the decision to act. And now he's taking the time to really feel, where am I now? It is very much in the present. And yes, the focus is on the future in a sense, but in the same way that you build a foundation before you build a house on top of it.
Absolutely.
There is also a foundation for effective action. And that is this, it's the pause.
Mm-hmm.
And it's feeling, where am I now? What's happening here?
Where are you in the present? Don't make your decisions based on the past.
Yeah, and connecting to the body, because the body is where the guidance is. Connecting
Absolutely.
To the present moment where everything that, where the guidance is in the, I should say, the present moment. It's a lot of it comes through the body.
It does. But the body is the only thing that can be in the present. The mind can travel to the past and the future.
Yeah.
So staying present within the body keeps you in the present.
Yeah,
and where am I now? What am I feeling now? What do I need?
Yeah. Yeah.
What isn't working? All the questions I said in the beginning. What isn't working? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to be willing to embrace? Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So to summarize it, it's really the way that we're being invited to embrace simplicity is to feel things before we do them. Not doing for the sake of doing because it looks good or it assuages our anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But consider,
go by the feeling, the
action.
Rightness. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the name
the
of the game now. It's all about rightness and feeling and not trying to over-intellectualize a situation and trying to think your way through. What do you feel?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and feeling takes time. This is something we simply cannot get away from. The world has been set up to prioritize getting it done fast, but that is not how human beings work. It's not how nature works. It's not really how anything works.
Mm-hmm.
Things can't work well on that basis where things have to happen so quickly without time for them to be felt into. And I want to link back to the High Priestess here because she represents the stillness that we all feel, we all know, and that is there, present and available for all of us, and helps us to feel, yes, it's okay to rest. It's okay to stop. And it's not only okay, but actually it's vitally important to step back in the way that this figure is doing in the Three of Wands so that we can see the whole landscape and feel the whole landscape. Because when we're right in the thick of the action, it's very hard to think in a big picture way. We need calm in our bodies and also in our minds to get the perspective we need to find the simplicity, to be available for the simplicity to arise. So there is no way to live in this fast-paced way and also to live simply. They're just, they're antithetical to each other.
They are. They don't support each other.
No, they can't coexist. And so if we want to embrace simplicity, we have to embrace slowing down. And that's, I mean, that's a choice that we can all make on a daily basis to either do that or not do it. But things like switching the phone off or whatever, just, you know, diarizing a 3-hour like break to not do it, you know, to just read a book or put your feet up, you know, like really getting quite conscious about creating time because life is busy. Life is busy when you have a job and children and commitments. Life is busy. So, you know, we can't all live on a mountaintop, but it's just simply the case that if we're constantly busy and we don't give ourselves those breaks, we're not going to have the ability to see the big picture and to perceive the simplicity that's always there available to us. We do have to make time for it.
Prioritize your own self-time and self-care and you time.
Yes.
You know, you can have a large family and whatnot, but you should be able to say to that family, you know what? I need some me time.
Yeah, because we do. Everybody does.
Sure.
Everybody needs it. Nobody can function optimally without it. And that's just a fact.
Absolutely. So what does the moon being the final card, what does that say to us in terms of the divine having more to say about it?
So this card, the way it tends to, what it tends to express when it comes up in the readings that I do of late, it tends to represent the collective, well, it does to a great extent represent the collective unconscious, but in particular, the very stimulating aspects of the collective unconscious, the type of energy that we feel and engage with when we listen to the news a lot, for example. So the news, by and large, is frightening and very negative and portrays the world as a very unsafe and unstable place. And of course, in some respects, it is, and in many respects, it is not. And for particularly for those of us who are more sensitive, but really for anybody, being exposed to that kind of energy on a regular basis puts us into a kind of a fight or flight state. It may be subtle. We may not feel overtly kind of anxious, but there will be this underlying sense of the world isn't safe. I'm not safe. That person is in pain. That person is having their country blown to bits. Oh my God, what can I
We're
do about
doomed.
it?
Yeah, we're doomed.
Yeah.
Doom and
All of
gloom.
that stuff.
Too
Yeah,
much.
exactly. It is too much. And so I think the message here is that it's okay to disconnect. Like it's, of course, it's fine to be informed and it's beautiful to feel compassion for the world and to want to know what's going on so that we can do things about it and, you know, choose our political leaders in an informed way and all this kind of stuff. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that, but we do, because there's such a huge availability of media now, we
Oh,
do
yeah.
have to take care of our nervous system so that we don't become overexposed and over kind of frazzled by it all, so that we don't get onto that kind of treadmill of fear where we just our bodies go into that state of there's a threat that I'm not able to do anything about, because that's a very destabilizing kind of state and puts us into that very activated kind of something has to happen right now kind of physiology.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I would like to say about this card is, I mean, I think it definitely applies on the kind of world stage, but also sometimes other people are going through things that, and it's not advocating cutting anybody off, but sometimes it's important to recognize when somebody else's difficulties or chaos or pain has a destabilizing effect on us that goes beyond kind of the support that we offer. And so it's a sort of, you know, of course, offer support if we feel we can and if we'd like to, but to do it in a way that's mindful of our own physiological state so that we don't become depleted and we don't become kind of run down. Because especially when you're sensitive, being around somebody else's complication can l just lead us into that place where things suddenly feel complicated. Now, our bodies are kind of like ready for, you know, fight or flight, and it isn't even our situation.
Right.
So, in the same way that with things like the news, it's important to maintain some boundaries and to kind of think consciously about how much we can, or to observe really how much we can engage without becoming overwhelmed or depleted. Similar in situations in our lives as well, if there's a particular person or a particular environment, perhaps. I mean, somewhere like a shopping mall or some kind of really big, busy public place like that can be very, very stimulating. There's a lot of energy around there, just a lot
Oh,
of
yeah.
people. And in a place like that, there's a lot of that kind of grabby energy as well.
Oh,
People are there
yes.
for a variety of reasons. And all of us, I think, to some extent, but particularly those of us who are sensitive, we can be really destabilized by that.
Yes.
And then we get into this, just we start to experience life in this complicated way because that's the state our brains have got into. And that, you know, it's nobody's fault. Nobody has done anything wrong, but it's just an effect that happens to us and makes it harder to perceive the simplicity because we're being bombarded essentially by other people's complication or other people's kind of.
And that kind of brings us back to fear of missing out. You know, this insatiable curiosity. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening in a part of the world where I don't live?
Yeah.
Or a part of the country, you know, that I live in, you know, and is it coming closer to me? You know, natural disaster.
Yeah.
Oh, really? How many people died?
Yeah.
It's, there's this insatiable curiosity to look into the television set or on your phone to find out what's happening, but we apply it in a way that we create a way for it to affect us, even if it doesn't affect us. Like you said, it's not your situation, and yet we're engaging in it. We're feeling their sadness, their pain, wildfires. So many people lost their homes, and we're engaging in with their pain. And so it's important to kind of swing us back around to that's why we promote here on the show the self-care and techniques that allow you to achieve balance. For instance, keeping it simple, if you go to a mall or a busy shopping center, maybe afterwards, if you have the time, stop by a park. I mean, unless you have, you know, ice cream in the car. If you can do that, counterbalance that, go from one environment to the total opposite, kind of get some zen, reestablish a calm, and then continue. We teach a technique here that when you're out and about in the world, you are picking up other people's energy, other drivers in cars, the energy of the other drivers, whatever they're going through. It might be imperceptible on a lot of levels, but the human energy field is very porous and it absorbs energy. So you have the drivers, you haven't even gotten anywhere yet. And you go to where you're going, and it could be a medical facility, and there's people there who are in varying levels of distress or discomfort or physical pain. But no matter where you go, you're picking up energy. So it's important to know techniques that allow you to disconnect from everything that touched your energy field or got into your energy field. Disconnect. You don't need to process other people's pain. It's okay to let them have their sadness or their pain or their frustration with their situation. It's okay to let them process it. That's their path. Your role is a little more clearly defined. You're there for support, but not to join in to the point of self-sacrifice. Midday, end of day, doesn't matter when, you got to clear the energy out of your field, disconnect from everybody you've interacted with or been around, and get back to processing just your energy. Go to the simplicity, go to the ease, go to the peace. That's, you have to really want to plug into that. But once you feel it, you know how to get there. And the more you do it, the more familiar you are with that feeling. What feels good to me? Peace feels good to me. Not feeling the pressure of having to be somewhere at a certain time or a deadline, you know, to get something done, you know, all of these pressures. So knowing the destination will help you get there easier. But the more frequently you do that, the longer you'll wish to stay. Like that park. This feels good. I like it here. And I can be here without my mask. In the era of COVID, where can you go without your mask? Nature. It was designed this way. The whole pandemic was designed this way. It became so that being indoors was dangerous, but being in nature was the safer option.
It's a good point.
Well, it's a big eye opener. This is where we're steering you, beloved children. Connect more with nature, the natural rhythms, because the man-made rhythms don't work for your body.
They do not
work. Your physiology, your central nervous system. And you're constantly in fight, flight, or freeze. And we're all, I think we're all overcooked by a lot of this.
It's a great way to put it.
It's overabsorption when we don't always, if we know a way to effectively ground ourselves, center ourselves. There are those who make it a lifestyle, but there are those who maybe they're not interested in this stuff. Maybe they'll happen upon this conversation purely by accident. Wink, wink. You know? Maybe they'll just happen across this, and then maybe you can come up with something that's simple for you, something that you enjoy, but you don't have to do what we're doing, not to this level. But go to the park several times a week and let that be your decompression, your release valve. That plug into that, unplug from the external commotion. Too much
And
commotion.
I want to make another plug for this idea of like being willing and not adding, like, right, how am I now going to make things simple for myself? Let me get my pen and paper out and make it, like, of course, I mean, your suggestion is beautiful, beautiful. Go to the park. Yes. But even to sometimes it can feel like another thing on the to-do list.
Yes.
Whatever our mind comes up with as the thing that we're going to do to take care of ourselves can end up being, oh, now I have to do this as well. I also have, whatever it is that we come
I
up with.
don't
And
feel like pouring salt into a bathtub. It's too much effort.
Exactly. If it doesn't, if it's kind of coming from the mind, it's not necessarily in the same way that there's effective action and ineffective action, there's also effective ideas and ineffective ideas. And so, yeah, I really want to put in another plug for this idea that we say, I'm willing to be shown. And so that it doesn't become another task, but actually it's giving the task away and saying, I'm willing to allow this to become simple.
Absolutely. And just to say that it's funny, the mind, how you can be so busy in your life, but when something comes into your life that you really want, it's miraculous how you manage to make time for it. There is responsibility, but there's also perception. And in terms of, and this will be my final word on it, in terms of what we were just saying about, let's put it under the umbrella of self-care takes time and effort. I know the feeling of, but I don't want to take another salt bath. But I know that when I do, I'm going to feel better. And so I had to learn to rise above my emotions. Okay, you don't want to, you're tired. I get it. You're upset, whatever. But you know what? Do it anyway. And what you employ in those times is a form of resistance. And I will refer everybody to Mother Mary's transmission in a segment on light resistance or resistance to guidance, right? And where she says, and exercise is the best example, right? Because it takes effort. And so, what do you do when you feel that push from shadow, as she says, shadow resistance, saying, don't bother, it's raining outside, you're going to get all wet, and then you get there, and then you have to work out, and it comes up with all the excuses to justify not going, right? And then she says, use light resistance to resist. To resist the pull not to use light resistance to re-engage with the willingness and the desire to do it. And you use light resistance. It's a fabulous technique.
Yeah, it's a beautiful concept, light resistance.
Shadow resistance stops you from doing something that's good for you and that will make you feel good. Light resistance helps you gently push that back to do it anyway. It's really cool.
I remember during School of Love, she introduced this and talked about utilizing the pause,
Yes.
like a minute or like 20 breaths to say, light resistance, please come in and, kind of solidify me, like solidify my connection to this thing that's going to be good for me.
Yes. I think I'll revisit that. There's several of her teachings I want to just kind of reimmerse myself in.
Oh, they never get old.
They never do. They're timeless. Alrighty, my dear. This is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, everyone. We hope you got a lot out of this. I know I did. And thank you, Amy, so much for your time and effort and your wisdom that you share with us. So again, ladies and gentlemen, you can contact Amy to book a reading at hello@blazinghearttarot.com. And to interact and receive consistent support, join her Facebook page, Blazing Heart Tarot. I would be honored to help you in a private healing session, so visit spiritualinsightsradio.com to connect with me. You can also join the community by subscribing to the newsletter, which is not a consistent newsletter. It's not a monthly thing because I don't always have something to tell everybody. I kept it simple. When I have something to say, I send one out. But I will be making a number of announcements very soon, so if you would sign up for the newsletter, you'll receive those. All right, everyone. That's our show for today. Until next time. God bless and be at peace.